We're reading from Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 18. And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. And he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound was healed. And he performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down out of the heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given to him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and who has come to life. And there was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast might even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one should be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. You may be seated.
Father, open our hearts, our minds, our eyes to your truth this morning. Father, in this book of the Revelation, in some ways so strange, and yet, Father, it's not science fiction, it's not a fairy tale. Father, it's your eternal word. These things are and will come to pass. So, Father, we need to be ready. And we pray, Lord, that as a result of hearing your word this morning, that every heart will be changed. Every heart will turn and become a worshiper of Jesus Christ, either beginning or continuing on even more so. So to that end, Father, we pray for your help and your grace and your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Man is an incurable worshiper. Man will worship something. There's only two possibilities, ultimately. Man is a worshiper of Jesus Christ, or he's not. And if he's not, there are dire eternal consequences. We've been studying the book of the Revelation, working our way through it. Some of you weren't here last week, but for those of you that were, we learned about this coming one known as the Beast, known as the Antichrist, the one who is the counterfeit, Satan's counterfeit, of the true Messiah, Jesus Christ. Therefore, he's called the Antichrist. Anti meaning instead of or against. Satan is the imitator of God the Father, the counterfeit, if you will, of God the Father. The Antichrist is Satan's imitation of the second person of the Holy Trinity of Jesus Christ. The beast is the Antichrist, who's going to appear in the end times. Satan gives his authority to this coming world ruler. We saw that before. Chapter 13 and verse 4. They worship the dragon, that's Satan, because he gave his authority to the beast, to the Antichrist, to rule. We're going to see today that Satan, the dragon, the ruler of this age, the god of this age, the ruler of this world, has a second servant, if you will, powerful, who's also called a beast. In addition to the beast that we saw rise up out of the sea, out of that troubled mass of humanity, we see a second beast this morning. He's called also in Revelation the false prophet. If you just jot this down, chapter 16 and verse 13, you'll see there that it says, coming out of the mouth of the dragon, that's Satan, out of the mouth of the beast, that's the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, there's the unholy Trinity, three unclean spirits like frogs. So he's called the false prophet. Satan, as I said, is an imitator. He's a counterfeiter. Now, the false prophet, Satan, this beast that is the Antichrist false prophet, he is a counterfeit. He is an imitator of the Holy Spirit of God. What is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? The ministry of the Holy Spirit of God is to glorify Christ. John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to guide us into the truth of Jesus Christ. He will not speak on His own initiative. Whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. Now notice, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, He will glorify Me. He shall take of Mine and shall disclose it to you. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, to bring people to the Savior, to open people's eyes to the truth. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The false prophet, on the other hand, the counterfeit of the Holy Spirit, the false prophet's work will be to bring people to the Antichrist, to bring people to this beast, to deceive them, as it were, and lead them and bring them to the worship of the Antichrist. That's why the false prophet, this second beast, is the counterfeit of God's Holy Spirit. I call him the Antichrist's sinister minister. He's sort of the prime minister, if you will, of this coming world ruler. Satan is a deceiver, and so it's no mystery that his agents, whether angelic or human, are also deceivers. Now, we know that the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. The Bible says many deceivers have gone out in the world, and so many people in the world today are deceived. They're following a lie. They're believing a lie other than Christ. Well, all of this is going to culminate in the great deceiver, the great lie at the end of the age. The Antichrist, this coming world ruler, this human that Satan himself is going to indwell and rule through, and then his prime minister, if you will, this false prophet who is coming. Let's look at four characteristics about this coming false prophet who will promote and cause people to worship the Antichrist. Let's look at four characteristics of this false prophet. Number one, his power is from Satan. His power is from Satan. Verse 11 in the text says, I, John, saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. Another beast. The word another there means another of the same kind. The original language has another word for another that means another of a different kind, but this is the word that means another of the same kind. So John sees another beast. Another of the same kind that he had seen previously coming up out of the sea. John sees another one, similar to the first one, coming up out of the earth in this case. The earth. Now, to the ancients, to the ancient peoples, the earth was not seen as foreboding and mysterious and powerful like the raging sea. So this suggests that this second beast is subordinate to the first beast. Not as powerful, but every bit as deceiving. Not as much authority, perhaps, but every bit as much of Satan as the first one. He's another of the same kind. He comes up out of the earth in a symbolic sense. His appearance is not as overpowering, it's not as terrifying as the first beast. If you were here last time, we studied that, this first beast. Notice in verse 1 of the text in chapter 13, John saw the first beast, 10 heads, or rather 10 horns and 7 heads. What a monster. And speaking of great power and authority, and like savage animals, like a leopard and a lion and a bear. This beast, this second beast, this false prophet, had 2 horns like a lamb. 2 little horns like a lamb. Appearing gentle. Harmless. But notice very carefully, this is a lamb with dragon breath. He had 2 horns like a lamb, but he spoke as a dragon. He spoke as... Who's the dragon? Satan. Chapter 12, verse 9. Very clear. So what this false prophet, symbolically, he has 2 horns like a little lamb. He appears very innocent. He's very smooth, subtle, but he's a deceiver. What he says originates with Satan. He speaks as a dragon. He will seduce the world. He will seduce the world. Very smooth, very persuasive. He will seduce the world when he comes on the scene, the world with all of its trouble, all of the unrest. And he will seduce the world to give its allegiance to the beast, the Antichrist. That's his ministry. Jesus warned of this in John 7, or rather Matthew 7, verse 15. Jesus said, listen, beware of false prophets who come to you, get this, in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Well, here's this false prophet appearing as a lamb, as it were. Sheep's clothing, 2 little horns, but with speaking like a dragon. The true character ultimately being there. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we referred often to 2 Thessalonians 2. And there the Bible says that in verse 11, God is going to send upon the world in the end days a deluding influence so that they might believe what is false. That's why, again, beloved, it is so dangerous for people to resist Christ, to resist the gentle wooing of the Holy Spirit, and resist the gospel. Because the more one resists, the more one is prone to believe the deluding influence that is going to come on the world and even now is descending. The work of the Holy Spirit, again, is to what? To convict men of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. Jesus said in John 16, 8, when he comes, he will convict the world, the Holy Spirit, and so on. The false prophet, then, is going to have power to deceive and to convince the world that the Antichrist is the Savior, that he's the hope of this world. Therefore, worship him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 24, listen to this. Jesus said this, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. So powerful will be the deluding influence of this final false prophet that, if possible, he would deceive even the very... He's not able to deceive the elect. God is going to shorten the time and so on. But if possible, he would deceive even the elect, even the people of God. Well, his power is from Satan. Secondly, verse 12, second principle is he is the promoter of a world religion. And if you're taking notes or if you have that little outline from the bulletin, add the word one world religion. He is the promoter of a one world religion. Verse 12 says he, this second beast, he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. He comes with all of the power of Satan. He has all of the authority of the first beast. And the dragon had given his authority to the first beast. Satan gives his power, his authority to the Antichrist. And he comes likewise in that same authority. But notice his purpose. Notice the mission of the false prophet. He makes the earth, excuse me, and all who dwell in it, those who dwell in it, to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound was healed. We saw that. The coming Antichrist is going to suffer some kind of a mortal wound. It's going to be either some kind of a contrived resurrection or some kind of a resurrection that's going to appear from the dead, and the world is going to wonder. And the false prophet will use that, among other things, to convince people that this is God, ultimately, to be worshipped. Satan's desire, we've said this before, what is Satan's ultimate desire? To be worshipped. And he wants converts. He wants people to worship him, to give themselves to him, to sell their souls, as it were, to him as Satan, as the god of this world. We looked at John chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, where the enemy, where Satan came to Christ in the wilderness, right? And Satan said, show Jesus all the kingdoms of the earth. And he said, Jesus, all this I will give you if you will fall down and what? Worship me. Jesus said, begone, Satan, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Satan wants to be worshipped, and Satan is going to seek to accomplish that, the worship of the world, through the Antichrist and through this false prophet. And the promoter of this one world religion is the satanically empowered false prophet. That's what it says. He makes the earth and those who dwell in it. Now, that's a term for unbelievers, earth dwellers, those who are dwelling in the earth, to worship the beast. That's his mission, as a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. We talked last week about the ecumenical movement. The goal of the ecumenical movement is to bring all of the religions of the world, ultimately all of the religions, not just all of the different phases of Christianity, but all of the varied religions, to bring them together into one. Well, that goal is going to be realized when the Antichrist and his false prophet are on the earth. Here it is. He makes the whole earth to worship the first. They're united in worship. The goal of the ecumenical movement is achieved, but it's, as we said last week, oh, it's so much more than the earth bargained for. At the time of the Roman Empire and the Caesars, Rome, with its far-flung empire and many different peoples, Rome recognized the value and the importance of bringing the empire together in worship under Caesar. And so we've shared this many times. This is why Christians were thrown to the lions and so on. They refused to bow down. That all you had to do was come once a year, bow down before the statue of Caesar, offer a little pinch of incense on the altar in the flame and say, Caesar is Lord. And if you were a believer in Jesus Christ, you could not do that because Jesus Christ is Lord. We sang it today. Jesus is Lord of all. Rome saw the importance as a unifying effect to bring this far-flung empire together under Caesar in Caesar worship. Well, the false prophet is going to deceive and seduce the world into worship of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to control the government, he'll control religion ultimately, and he will control the economy, as we'll see here in a minute. Powerful. Mikhail Gorbachev, the former leader of the Soviet Union, after 9/11, he said this. It was a news conference in Madrid, Spain. Gorbachev said, the victims of 9/11 in America will not have died in vain if the world leaders use the crisis to create a new world order. These victims will not be in vain if the world reflects on and looks at itself in the mirror. In other words, all of this will not be in vain if the nations of the world can look at this and say, we have to come together in a new world order, a coalition of nations. It's coming. It's coming. And the religion that goes with it is going to be the mission of the false prophet as a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. to bring people into worshiping and promoting this Antichrist. You know, in that day, after the rapture, when the true believers are caught up, and I'm making my plans to depart, how about you? If that rapture happens today or tomorrow, it's up, up, and away, right? But for those left behind, and there are going to be many who are left behind, who are going to realize they were left behind and are going to come to Christ. See, but now is the time to come to Christ, right? Now, today, to believe. But for those left behind, many are going to trust Christ. And they'll be martyred. They'll pay for it with their lives, many of them. Because the Antichrist is going to hunt them down. We'll see here later. Bible-believing Christians, those who follow Christ, will not be tolerated in that day. And you know, that's what's happening today. It was very interesting that after 9-1-1, and all of a sudden, the Taliban and these Islamic extremists, and what were they called? The Islamic fundamentalists. They've got to go. If we can get rid of the fundamentalists in Islam, get rid of the extremists, we can get along with Islamic people. But then, very interestingly, Christians began to be lumped in with the Taliban. You know, we've got Christian fundamentalists. We've got Christian extremists. We need to get rid of them. They're the problem. That's the impediment to unity. That's the impediment to peace. They're the problem. They're the fly in the ointment. So you've got Islamic fundamentalists, extremists, and you've got Christians. And let's just get rid of them. And that's what will happen during the tribulation. The false prophet is going to promote a one-world religion. And those who don't bow down and don't take the mark of the beast, it's going to be tough. And many of them will pay for it with their lives. He's a promoter of a one-world religion. Thirdly, he's a miracle worker. This coming false prophet is a miracle worker. Verse 13, he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. He does great signs, does great miracles, supernatural power. He has the power of Satan. Satan can do great signs. Satan has obviously supernatural power. Satan is a counterfeiter. Remember in the Exodus, Moses and Aaron came in and did those great signs. And initially, up to a point, Pharaoh's magicians, Jannes and Jambres, it's spoken of in the New Testament, they were able to duplicate, to imitate somehow through magic arts or sleight of hand or whatever, maybe supernatural power, they were able to duplicate some of those first signs that Moses and Aaron did. Right? Frogs out of the Nile and the water being turned blood red and so on. Satan is a counterfeiter. Here it says this false prophet is going to have great power. He even makes fire fall from heaven. Well, look back at chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. These two prophets of God we saw, fire would come forth out of their mouth, and they had power to shut up the sky. So here's the false prophet duplicating, counterfeiting the work of the real prophets of God. And verse 14 of our text tells us that he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs that it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast. Jesus Christ did mighty many miracles. Why? To authenticate that he was the Messiah of God. And Satan has his counterfeit plan. He has his Holy Spirit, as it were, the false prophet, who does these great signs to deceive men into thinking that the Antichrist is the great one of God. He is the one. He is the one you must submit to. He is the one you must worship. And he deceives people by the signs that he does. The work of Satan. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, once again. We've looked here before. But 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. I'll begin at verse 8. Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. There it is. With all the power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. Those who don't believe the gospel, those who have rejected Jesus Christ, are going to embrace the lie. They're going to embrace this deceiving influence, this deceiving spirit, the false Messiah. Again, Jesus predicted this. Write this down. Matthew 24, verse 5. Jesus said in his Olivet Discourse, many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. And again, verse 24, false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great, get this, signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. But the elect will not be deceived. They are protected by God. They know His truth. Listen to these words in John. John chapter 10. John 10, verses 4 and 5. Great words. When He puts forth all His own, Jesus said, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him because they know His voice. And a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from Him because they do not know the voice of strangers. And then look across the page, John 10, verse 27 to 29. My sheep hear My voice. See, Jesus said, the false prophet, the Antichrist, if it were possible, they would deceive the elect. Thank God, it will not be possible. My sheep hear My voice, verse 27 of John 10. And I know them, and they follow Me. I give eternal life to them. They shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of My hand. My Father who has given them to Me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. But since Satan can perform great signs and wonders, and he's a great deceiver, and even now, there's a danger that we would that believers could be seduced and could be led astray. What do we need to be aware of? Number one, Adrian Rogers recently mentioned three things. Just because someone does a miraculous sign doesn't mean they're of God. Just because you see miracles today doesn't mean it's of God. What are the tests? Here's just three things. Number one, does this prophet confess that Jesus has come in the flesh? Does this miracle worker confess that Jesus is come in the flesh? 2 John verse 7, it says this, many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. So number one, when you see miracles, when you see someone who claims to be the great power of God and doing great signs, number one, does this miracle worker confess that Jesus has come in the flesh? Number two, does the miracle worker glorify Jesus Christ? Because remember, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Christ. John 16, verses 13 and 14. He shall glorify Me, Jesus said. So does the miracle worker glorify Jesus Christ? And then thirdly, does the miracle worker, does the worker of wonders do or say anything or teach anything that contradicts the clear teaching of God's Word? Does the miracle worker teach, say, or do anything that contradicts the clear teaching of God's Word? Turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder comes true concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods whom you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him. And you shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him and cling to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has counseled rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, to seduce you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall purge the evil from among you. Even if your eyes see a miracle, see a wonder, a great sign, but that prophet, that miracle worker, is leading you away from the worship of the true God, don't follow. Don't follow. Be wise, be discerning. But the world is going to see. The world is going to see great signs. The world is going to see even fire falling from heaven. And the world is going to be deceived. So we've got to know the word. Be discerning. Hear the voice of God. Well, there's another wonder that this false prophet does here in verse 14. Back in our text, back in Revelation 13. He tells, in verse 14, he tells those who dwell on the earth, the earth dwellers, unbelievers, to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. And they do it. They just do it. They make this image. They make this statue. Maybe like when Nebuchadnezzar, remember in Daniel, is it Daniel 2 or 3, made this huge statue and everybody had to bow down. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't bow down and they were thrown into the fiery furnace. The false prophet tells those who dwell on the earth, make a statue to the beast, make a statue to the world ruler, to the Antichrist. But notice the power of the false prophet. Verse 15, there was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast might even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He gives breath. The false prophet, this worker of Satan, he gives breath to the image. I don't know what that is. I mean, maybe it's just Walt Disney World super advanced. I don't know. Animatronics or something that looks so lifelike. Or maybe it's virtual reality. I mean, we're just on the cutting edge of virtual reality. I can't even understand what all that is. Chuck Colson recently, it was back at the end of July on his daily commentary. He had a little piece, and I saved it. He was talking about virtual reality and this coming world, this very strange world of entering into virtual reality when images, we're going to be able to enter in and converse with them. They're really not real, but they appear real. Colson talked about Raymond Kurzweil, who is one of the leaders in the world of artificial intelligence research, and he's created this woman. Her name is Ramona, and you can go online and you can sort of enter into her presence and have a conversation. She'll talk with you. You can ask her what she thinks about theology, and she'll respond to you. This is weird stuff. But Kurzweil says he believes the day is coming soon. Well, he says by the end of the 21st century, I think it'll be sooner than that, there will no longer be a clear distinction between human and machine. And so here's this Antichrist. He gives breath to this statue. This statue talks. It appears to be alive. And the world is just going to... Kurzweil says the day is coming. There will no longer be a clear distinction between human and machine. The truth is, though, that the more that machines become like men, the more men become like machines. And that's the world we're in. It will be worship this beast, worship the image, or be killed. Notice verse 15. This image of the beast will even speak and cause as many as who do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Have you ever thought about that? If you were here, I remember being younger and being in kind of a discussion about this image of the beast and if we were here during the time of the Antichrist. And I remember one person said, well, I think this is what I would do, because I know if you say, I'm not going to take the mark, I'm not going to worship the beast, I'll just say I'm loyal. I'll say it with my lips, but in my heart, I'll be really worshiping God. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. In fact, look across the page to chapter 14. Chapter 14 and verse 11. We'll see this in a coming message. The smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night. Those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Well, I'll take the mark. I'll take the mark so I can buy and sell and get medicine for my family. But in my heart, I'll really be saying, Lord, I worship you. Mm-mm. Doesn't work that way. Whoever receives the mark of his name, whoever worships the beast in his image. See, that was the dilemma of the early Christians. Caesar is Lord. No, Jesus Christ is Lord. And their blood was shed. And that's what lies ahead in that tribulation time. And we're going to enter in. We're going to see that. We're going to see many of our brothers and sisters in the world are facing it now. And the great tribulation isn't even here. Imagine what it's going to be like during that time. Let's move on. Fourthly, he will establish economic control. He will establish economic control. Verse 16, he causes all the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free men and the slaves to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one should be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name, and so on. In conjunction with this image, this statue, this talking thing, in conjunction with coercing men to worship that, the false prophet causes those who dwell on the earth to receive a mark on the hand, the right hand, or the forehead, a test of loyalty to the Antichrist, the mark of the beast. Without it, the text says, no one, you will not be able to buy or sell. Imagine. The rapture's happened, and if you're left behind, and all of a sudden, it's take the mark on the forehead or the right hand, or you can't buy electricity, you can't buy gas, you can't buy medicine, you can't buy food, you can't buy clothing. What are you going to do? It's interesting that without this mark, you can't buy or sell. You know, we're moving towards a cashless society already. I fully expect that in my lifetime, maybe in the very near term, this business of writing paper checks, what a cumbersome thing. It's like that's from the Stone Age. We're still writing checks and got checkbooks and all this paper that the banks have to deal with. You know that's on the way out. That's the first step. Cash will be the next thing to go. Already you have smart cards where you can get a sum of money deposited in this little plastic card. Cash will be on the way out. I mean, already government leaders recognize it. How are we going to control the drug traffic? How do we control all this money that's flowing under the table and all the crime that's caused by cash? Let's get rid of cash. Everybody can have a mark. Everybody, just credit it to your account in this big computer somewhere. We don't need cash. Just the mark. Maybe an invisible tattoo. The technology's out there. A tattoo that you don't even see on your hand before. And you stand in front of a scanner down here at Walmart. Not to pick on Walmart. You know, just look into that scanner and automatically your purchases are deducted. The technology is there. Maybe the mark. Maybe the mark of the beast that everyone will be forced to take or submit to death. Maybe the mark will be a little chip. You know, that's already there. I went on the internet this week and typed in VeriChip, V-E-R-I-C-H-I-P. And this little article came up, the microchip. A microchip makes its mark, VeriChip and the Beast. Mark of the Beast or marvel of technology. They're already doing it. They're implanting these little chips about the size of a Tic Tac in people's hands. And you can always be located where you are. You never get lost. They're doing it in pets. And you can store all your medical history in there, and eventually you'll store your financial history in there. Very interesting. VeriChip. And of course, the article concluded by saying, well, now it seems very positive. It can help, it can make the world more safe. It can find lost people and so on, keep track of those on parole, etc., etc. But, the article said, what about when it gets in the wrong hands? Everyone is caused to get a mark on the right hand or the forehead. Here is wisdom. Let him who understands calculate the number of the beast. For the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. Well, of course, that has raised all kinds of speculation. Who is the Antichrist? And the Greek letters, kind of like the Roman numerals, when you see those Roman numerals and so on. C represented 100. I think M was 1,000. Well, Greek letters had numerical equivalents. So the name Nero, they worked it out. So Nero's the Antichrist, or Hitler was the Antichrist. You can take just about any name and make it work out to 666. And that's not the point. Six is the number of man. Seven is the perfect number. God is perfect. Man, the Antichrist, is less than God. Less than God. He's 666. It's the number of a man. It's the number of man. Never be God. Here is wisdom. When that day comes, and here is wisdom, it says, here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding, when that day comes, when the tribulation comes, I believe people are going to know what's going on. Now we just speculate. I mean, there was even talk that Henry Kissinger back in the 70s was maybe the Antichrist. I mean, it's dangerous to speculate like that. But when the time comes, people will know. People will know. We've said many times, beloved, people are in one of two camps, on one of two sides, either with Jesus or with Satan. And the question today is, are you truly in Christ? Are you with Him? If the rapture, as we said, if the rapture happened today, and the believers, the true believers, were caught up, and people in the world, unbelievers, were left behind, where would you be? Would you be with Christ in glory? Or would you be among those left behind to face the horrors of the tribulation and the Antichrist and the false prophet? That is the issue. That is the issue. Are you ready now? You say, well, if I was left behind and knowing what I know now and knowing that heaven and hell is at stake and my eternal destiny, if I was left behind, I wouldn't worship the Antichrist. I wouldn't do it. I'd take whatever came. But don't be so sure. Why? Because right now in America or England or wherever, we don't face persecution. We don't face the threat of death. And yet we are so easily seduced. We buy into materialism. We follow the world. What will it be like when you can't buy or sell material things unless you take the mark? See, that's why the Bible says, now is the day of grace. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time to trust Christ. Don't wait. And if you truly know Christ today, live for Him. Be done with compromise with the world system. The Bible's pretty black and white. No divided allegiances. Just as it will be in that day. One or the other. And that's the message to believers today. And the message to unbelievers is, be ready. Please bow your heads. Father, You know the condition of every heart here this morning. Lord, every soul, every person in this room is someone for whom Christ died. That You love, that Your Son shed His blood for, that if we believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith into our hearts, we might not perish but have everlasting life. Father, what grace, what love. Lord, will You speak to every heart and whatever the need, whatever the condition of that heart, draw that seeking soul to you. Father, if it's in need of salvation, help them just to cry out to you for mercy, to turn from the life they've been living, to turn to Jesus, whom to know is life eternal, and be ready. Father, for those of us who know Christ, help us to walk faithfully. No compromise. No divided allegiances. Sold out for the Lord. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.